It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
This is the Winning Plays Podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider for the NBA's winningest franchise.
Winning Plays Podcast on location at Las Vegas Summer League. My name is Brian Robb, joined by Sui Chitrada, also of MassLive.com, as we record late night here in Sin City on a Wednesday night. The Celtics fresh off their first Summer League win behind a pretty... impressive effort by Jordan Walsh. We'll get to that later. First things, though, to each, we have some bigger fish to fry here. Brad Stevens making his first remarks to us here in Vegas late Wednesday night after the Celtics make a bunch of things official on Wednesday. The Grant Williams signing trade is done. The Kristaps Porzingis extension is done. Jaylen Brown's extension not done yet, but Brad Stevens feeling optimistic about it. Suichi, I think this is the biggest topic left for the Celtics here. What's your read on the comments tonight, and where how soon do you think this gets wrapped up here?
Yeah, I think, like you said, he's optimistic, and I think that's pretty much how all Celtics fans are pretty much feeling about the Jaylen extension and everything like that. I'm sure it just, you know, it's been well reported by you and elsewhere about the player options, incentives, and all those kinds of things. But yeah, I thought it was good that Brad was... you know, even just saying optimistic, I think, is a good thing, right? Because obviously you can't really say anything of substance just because of the way negotiations work and also league rules and all these fun things. But I think they're just pretty much going to figure it out in the next few weeks here. You've written about it a lot on MassLive.com, but that's pretty much it, B-Rod. Like, there's not really too much news in the sense of Brad talking about an extension he can't really talk about, so...
Well, yeah, I think him feeling safe enough to stay optimistic is just is to, like, you know, that's a guy who doesn't like to stay stuff like off the cuff, if you will. So I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So like whatever haggling is being done here is not something that I think either side is going to be, you know, willing to give in a little bit. And I guess we'll be interested to see what, like, whether it's the player option, whether it's the trade kicker, whether it's, you know, incentives, etc. Like, it's gonna get done, and I'm curious to see which side gives a little bit on it, and because I think both sides probably feel like they have pretty good leverage on this front.
Yeah, and obviously I think I've seen some Celtics fans maybe not want to give Jaylen the extension, but this is pretty much what you got to do, just asset management, roster wise and everything like that. And I think, you know, we don't have to go too into in depth on this here, B-Rod, but I just think that Jaylen, like, the pendulum has swung a little bit too much the other way, right? Like, earlier in the playoffs, 2023 was, is Jaylen better than Jason? And I was like, okay, let's cool out a little bit. And then by the end of it, obviously against, you know, and I'm not going to say Jaylen played well against the Heat, right? He said he failed his team after game seven. He did. But he's coming off a very good season, second team, All-NBA. Sure, at times, right, there are going to be criticisms. You know, his dribbling the past two series against the Heat in 2023 and 22 were not great. But at the end of the day, this is a 26-year-old guy who's a part of your team, your core, a homegrown player, all these good things. And it just makes sense to sign him to an extension, right? Not necessarily, you know, doesn't necessarily mean he's going to finish out the extension in Boston, right? That, like, 5 years is a very long time on top of this upcoming season. But like I said, just in terms of asset management, like, you got to kind of make that deal. So I think, you know, like you said, optimism is always a good thing if you're a Celtics fan. And I think that's kind of how you, right? Like, if there was anything brewing, it would seem like there would be more smoke, but that doesn't seem to be the case. The negotiations through Summer League so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are all good points, and especially in the playoff stuff, like the Heat series was easily maybe is like not his worst series of his like career, but pretty close when you look at the numbers there. And he did have a very good postseason up to that. And yeah, this is like the best case scenario for the Celtics is that like he plays out this contract in Boston because that means they, won a title or two. And that gives you the incentive to say, okay, we gotta keep these guys together. We'll just figure the rest out around them. And that's of course that's you try that first before you try anything else right now. So that's why he signed that deal. He's getting that locked in. The Celtics are getting him locked in. He's gonna probably be here for at least a couple more years and maybe a lot longer, depending on how this plays out. But yeah, one other part of those remarks, the three sentences he gave us on it was like, we're all gonna sit down and figure this out, which means yeah, like, okay, so I wonder if like they're gonna have Jalen hasn't been like in the room for these negotiations yet, and or if that will like if that had any bearing at all in this. That's the other thing that kind of caught my eye in those comments.
Yeah, and looking back at it now, as I literally look at it now, you asked this question, B-Rob, but he was pretty open about what he thought about this roster, right? Like, you have a couple of them roster spots. You signed Delano Banton and Ochai Brissett, so I both 6'7" guys, and I always kind of thought the Celtics kind of needed more of those players who fit that size profile, right? Especially during the regular season. So I thought those are some pretty good, like right for veteran minimum signings. Like, you're not gonna make it. He said he'd like a little bit more depth, maybe on the wing, maybe a 3-4 type. Feel pretty good about his wings, and they have a couple two-way spots. So I think that's pretty much right about where you like in your assessment of the Celtics. Like, I think that's pretty much where everyone is. I would say maybe you do want, I don't know, I still feel like you want a little bit more playmaking personally, just because, right? I feel like that's after you lose Marcus, who's arguably your best playmaker last year. Like, I think I would like to see that. I don't know, who exactly that would be. I personally thought like a Pat Bev on a veteran's minimum would be decent, but obviously I ended up getting Banton. So, but overall, I thought that was kind of eye-opening. He doesn't, Brad, I feel like, never really says that, right? Like you said, in terms of the optimism angle with Jalen. So I thought that caught my eye a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm also like, he also said he feels pretty good about the bigs. I think a lot of people were like, oh, like they need like, the durability of your bigs is like not great. So that was like, oh, so that makes me think a couple of things. One, it's like, all right, Luke Kornet's probably safe if he feels good about the bigs. Like that's a non-guaranteed deal, but that's your, third string center insurance, I guess.
But not the worst,
No,
I
no, I mean,
guess.
that's fine. Like
Can he minutes? Can he innings? Yeah.
exactly. Great analogy. Great innings eater. But then it's like Brissett, I guess, is more of a big in his mind then, because if he's saying he wants another 3-4 type, then you kind of think that Brissett's that guy. But maybe there's another guy here, and I don't know. Like the free agent market right now is not really promising, if you will. Like what's left out there as far as
Well, Christian Wood doesn't move you, B-Rob. I'm shocked.
I think, like even guys like that are probably going to say no because they think they're going to be able to play somewhere else. And so it makes me just wonder, like, okay, are they, you going after a 3-4 type with that TPE and these picks, or are you got something else up your sleeve? Like that's the sort of stuff that will probably, play out over the next few weeks as the rest of the league kind of is stand still right now, waiting for the Lillard or Harden shoes to drop.
Yeah, and this will be a good transition to talking about the Grant sign and trade, which was official earlier Wednesday. I do wonder if maybe they look at Brissett as a guy who could fill those Grant minutes, right? I think Brissett's going to be able to do most of that. Like, obviously the shooting is kind of a big question mark, right? He's not a very good 3-point shooter. Grant shot 40%+ the past 2 seasons and everything like that. So that to me is kind of like an okay, like I see the vision, but it won't be quite the same. Obviously, that's why Grant got that deal that he did. I'm curious to see how they look at that though, just because, like you said, right? Like at this point on the free agency market, like even if you sign a big man on a veteran's minimum, like how much better are they going to be than a Luke Kornet, right? So I think that's just another question that they'll have to answer. But like Brad said, they have a couple two-way spots, a couple roster spots open. So I think it's kind of interesting. But, you know, like I said, into transitioning about Grant, like, you know, like he had good things to say about Grant. I am curious. And we talked about this the last time I was on here, but just Grant was a look. I think Grant fits well on this roster on a rookie deal, but for what he wanted in terms of money and playing time, like it just wasn't going to fit there. So it seemed like that was a good move by Grant, at least to, you know, go play with Luka, go get those open three pointers, go play good defense and everything. And then Celtics will have to kind of rely on Brissett here to fill those minutes in.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Yeah, it's certainly... When the payroll is like this, you just can't. It's not as easy to pay your, you know, eighth man $15 million a year. But at the same time, it's a rarity to when you like your contending team and you just traded your what would have been your eighth man for like second round picks, which is also like, okay, yeah. Are you trying to win now or not? And that's where it'll be interesting to see with all these picks they've stockpiled of like how quickly their son is that. Going to be, you know, we want guys in place for camp to build the best continuity, etc. Or is that stuff to say, okay, let's see what we have here and then have the flexibility to make more adjustments over the course of the year. And so that's how much they lean into it. It sounds like they're leaning in terms of adding more now, but do you like what? It, like you said, is it just the minimum deals or is it something more than that that they have cooking on the potential trade market?
Yeah, right. The mythical star. Maybe it's a Dame. Who knows?
Yeah. That dream seems to be has left the station at this point. But
I don't think it's left the station for any team right now. So,
yeah, that's parked. It's an emergency brake is on Dame for the moment. Other than that, and this, I guess we can wrap up with this. Brad Stevens pretty pumped up about Jordan Walsh, even though he wants him to take more three pointers. That was another big rant there.
Yeah, I thought the same watching Celtics Lakers. I was like, this dude's got to shoot, man. It's summer league. Like, if you miss, you miss. Like, I think he had a couple air balls on Wednesday, but hey, it happens. You're 19 years old. You're learning, right? This is like your first action of professional ball. Like I remember hearing just, you know, summer league players just talking about it's a faster game compared to college. And of course it is, right? These are guys, you know, not NBA caliber, but they're at least, a lot of them are at least, you know, getting paid and all those good things. So, I've been pretty impressed with what Jordan Walsh has shown, right? Like the first game, he hit a bunch of three pointers and I was like, oh, I don't think that's very sustainable going forward. And, you know, game two kind of fell back a little bit, but he dug himself out of a slow start in game three against the Lakers and, you know, helped mount that comeback win over, you know, especially that third quarter. Like, I was super impressed. Like, he was yelling and everything. Like, I remember there was one play where Celtics got called for an illegal screen and then Jordan hit a three-pointer and it didn't count and he was struggling, but he, like, yelled really loud. I'm like, oh, man, like, this guy, like, he's ready to play. Like, he's into this and everything. So I think, you know, last thing I'd just say is, I remember I asked Brad about Jordan on draft night, right? Kind of a footnote after the Marcus trade, but Brad kind of made those comments about swallowing up Jordan being able to swallow up people up defensively. And I think you can see that with a 7-2 frame. And I know Celtics fans are pretty hyped about Jordan. I don't know. You know, it'll be fun to watch his development, but a lot of good things there. Don't think he'll necessarily crack the rotation, but that's not the expectation next season.
Yeah, he seems to understand his role well, like in terms of even in the summer league situation, like we talked in the first half and it's like it was just brutal stuff for him, but for him to dig himself out of that, like you said, and really just like do it in a bunch of different ways, whether it was, you know, getting, you know, he got the roll on 1-3 and then started hitting that more confidently, but it's just making a lot of just heady plays in transition or getting to the rim and things like that. So it's like, okay, if he can be, you know, at least, not even respectable, but at least like hold his own offensively, there, mm-hmm. the intangibles that seem to be there look like they'll be of use to the Celtics like sooner rather than later. And like you said, it's probably not going to be out of the gate unless, you know, it's probably gonna need to be like injuries and stuff like that, like open the door for that. Mm-hmm. But with their wing depth right now, like that it's pretty much it for him, like off the bench. It's like if Tatum or Brown ever go down for a stretch here, like they're going to need someone in that kind of a size void to fill those minutes defensively. And mm-hmm. at least looks like he's might be capable there. In spots in the meantime, we'll probably get plenty of reps up a main.
Yeah. And I've, you know, like we said, like just Eastern regular season minutes, like flying around, diving on the floor, right? Like can't quite play him in the playoffs. That's kind of far fetched and everything. Looking very, very much still looking forward and everything. But if he can make, you know, an impact defensively in a handful of games in the regular season, like I think you're more than happy with that from the 38th pick. And consider this too. Like I said, B-Rob, like he doesn't turn 20 until next March. Like this kid is young, right? Like he still has a lot more development in front of him. And I think that's what, you know, it's so exciting, former five-star prospect and everything. And as of right now, it looks like a decent draft pick, especially, you know, a little, you know, top 10 in the second round and everything. But like, it seems like there's a reason the Celtics had, you know, made four draft day trades and the only player they ended up with was Jordan Walsh that night.
Yeah. It's a situation where, you know, you gave away a first round pick, but you got someone who looks like he'd just be just as well as anyone picked in the 20s at this point, based on, you know, as we make our, because first impressions in summer league always matter the most. This is what, how we accurately judge rookies all around the league. But I do think in this situation, like this guy, he's not going to be a bust. I think it's safe to like, and it's more of like, he's not going to play anytime soon, but this is someone like, this is an NBA player. And there's a lot of guys that draft in that range where you can't really say that after a few games, but I feel pretty comfortable saying that, like, this is a guy who probably is not, like, it's going to play out his deal in Boston, you know, or wherever team they use him and go through out here. But let's try to, like, we'll spend two more minutes on Summer League, Sweetie. I want one take from someone else that's not Jordan Walsh in either direction. Is anyone there? The excitement that the juice of Summer League has not necessarily been there this year, so we might be reaching right here. But what if anything is sticking out for you through these first three games?
Hey, Jace Rob looks good. Right, and potential two-way contract guy. It's weird because I remember my first summer league in 2021, the first one after the pandemic, that had like four first-round picks on it. I feel like quite a few, a lot of talent. Penn and Pritchard was just lighting dudes up until the finals. So he got to the finals and played Davion Mitchell after a wedding. Like that was kind of a lose-lose situation for him. But anyway. I think, Jay Scrub looks good. I was pretty impressed with J.D. Davison. I think he only ended up with one turnover in the Lakers game. You know, he's on a two-way contract next year, and he's another young guy. Like, he's only 20 years old still. So I think some Celtics fans after the first two games are probably like, oh, this guy isn't even an NBA player. And I'm like, he's 20. You know, he was picked in the 50s. Like, expectations are low for this guy, right? So just let him develop, see what he's got. And if you... And even if he doesn't end up ending up with the Celtics, like maybe he has an overseas career. So it's just, you know, one of those things. But I was impressed with him Wednesday. I think the story of Summer League, besides Jordan Walsh, is honestly Jay Scrub. Like, he's looked fun. He's looked pretty confident in his shot. And I think, I feel like he's has to be in the running for the two-way contract slot, one of them at least.
Yeah, I mean, that's a smaller wing type. But when you look at, you would think that with these two-way contracts, like, okay, you got a guard. You probably want a wing, and then you probably want a big with them, like just in terms of the
very
to kind of cover your bases for the roster. Since those guys, I mean, they can play 50 games, so you can, you know, slide them up to the big club when you need them. But Scrub just looks like he looks. You know, Walsh has been solid, but like offensively, Scrub has looked like, you know, has the most complete package right now as far as offensive game goes. And I'm with you, like I would be very surprised if he doesn't get that two-way deal unless they have their eyes on someone that's not on this roster. But he certainly if they're going to use this roster to fill up one of those slots. Like, I'd even take him over, like, you know, Champagne right now in terms of a guy, you know, if he's probably not going to make the 50-man roster, but I think Scrub probably looks like he can help you more as far based on what both of those guys are doing in summer league.
Yeah, and Scrub's only 22, so it's, you know,
right.
He's still plenty young, right? It's not like he's 26 or anything like that. I think Theo was pretty old last year, like pretty mid-20s, so maybe that's kind of very – I actually really like the extra summer league – the extra two-way slot, like you mentioned, V-Rob, just because it makes positional value in terms of that interesting, but it's just better to see young players get a shot in the league. I always think that's good. Plus, yeah. Who knows, maybe they end up like a Sam Hauser and actually become a potential rotation player down the line.
For sure. All right. Well, that's enough summer league talk for us. We've hit our quota. make sure you're following. It's luckily Sweetie and I are going to be skipping down soon in Las Vegas. We've seen enough these past 72 hours, and we'll be back in Boston, and we'll see again what happens on this Jalen front, how soon this comes to be, and if Brad Stevens says anything else up his sleeve here. What's your final prediction here? Are we seeing any splashy trades to end the summer here, or are we just looking at a couple minimum signings?
Oh man, I think the fact that you don't expect a Brad to make a move makes me think there will be a move. Some reverse psychology nonsense.
Ooh, right? I like it.
Just because I feel like with the Brad Stevens front office, whenever you think you're in the clear and you're in PTO in Minnesota, Kemba Walker gets traded for Al Horford. So, right? That's just how it goes in the Celtics era.
That's how they do. All right. Make sure you're following Suichi on Twitter at Suichi Tirada. We'll be back with you guys next week as we put a bow on Summer League for good and see what the rest of this roster looks like.